Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, gospel preacher at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read, but study their Bible daily according to Acts chapter 17, verse number 11. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you think. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is June 21st, 2026. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We would love for you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road. Bible study at 9:30 a.m. Worship at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. We assemble again on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And we'll have more to say about our Wednesday schedule for the summer. As we have been announcing, we are in our summer series. And we are this week in our summer series. We have Brother Kevin Berry, who will be with us. And we are in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews chapter 4 on Wednesday, the 24th, 7 p.m. So we'd love to have you. Kevin comes to us from Lima, Ohio. Hebrews chapter 4. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM, WGNZ AM 1110, and FM 104.3, or by streaming online at thesoulofdayton.com or WGNZ.com. Friends, since the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414, or email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Beloved, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith, for faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Keep this in mind, that the way that we treat the scriptures, the Bible, God's word, is the way that we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you've learned from our earlier studies that the scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both the Old and the New Testaments. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2 in the Old Testament. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19 in the New Testament, to not tamper with God's word. We have no right to add to or to take away or to try to amend the word of God. God's word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? Now, last week, we introduced a subject that is vitally important to our time. We talked about the plague of perversion, and we were not able to complete that subject, and we want to bring us up to speed on where we left off from last week and then draw that subject to a conclusion. But also, if we have time, we will have something to say to Father. So let me say this at this point before we go any farther. Happy Father's Day to those men who have become fathers in a way that is well-pleasing and acceptable to God, meaning that you are husbands and that your wife bore you a son or a daughter, or you adopted a child, and you are a father in accordance to God's standard. And it's a shame that I have to be very explicit about this because of the perversion that we are dealing with in our world today. And more to be said about that as we complete our study. So let's just recap just ever so briefly so that we can then come to a conclusion about what the Bible teaches about this plague of perversion. We pointed out what is the cause of homosexuality. And we observe that it, we realize that this is not something that is produced genetically, but it is a choice that an individual makes. And as even the world has said, it is learned behavior. We further then looked at what the biblical view of homosexuality is. This is a moral issue. And we observed everything that we learned from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. God is not pleased with this moral evil. Homosexuality is a moral evil that assaults the very fabric of the nation. It assaults the home. It assaults the very foundation of human society. You know, if homosexuality continues, where will families come from? Where will children come from? This has never been tolerated by God. Dayton, are you listening? You know, let me make this observation because who were listening last week caught this. You know, the homosexual movement has hijacked some very important things. And one of the most important things that is hijacked is the term gay. You will not hear me talking about it and using this euphemism, talking about the gay movement. It is the homosexual movement. It is a perversion. It is an abomination. The word gay carries with the idea of light, of levity, of that which is happy. It's a shame that because someone applied this to this movement, they've hijacked this term, and they don't want us to use the biblical term of perversion or abomination or that which of homosexual because it exposes what it is, and they prefer to use this softening term so that it becomes acceptable. But we're told to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 and verse 11. Then Jesus and his teaching, he pointed out that we have to make sure that we do not reject his teaching. And Jesus emphasized directly that marriage is from the beginning a man and a woman. Jesus pointed out that any type of fornication, of which sodomy and homosexuality is condemned. Christ said that, indicated that ancient Sodom was in need of repentance, and that they, because they did not repent of their immorality, they were justly destroyed. Then that we observe further inspired evidence by the Apostle Paul. Paul sternly rebuked homosexuality in his letter to the church at Rome. In Romans chapter 1, 26 through 27, observing that homosexual conduct is characterized as the result of vile passions. It is characterized as a perversion from that which is natural to that which is against nature. And then Jude made the similar observation in Jude verse 7, lust causing males to burn for males and females for females. It's considered unseemly, and it's that which is error that was due recompense. Further, Paul to the church at Corinth declares that this is a conduct that is wicked, and if one doesn't repent, that's a change of mind that's turned by a change of action, cannot enter into heaven. And that's where we left off last week. We observed as we were concluding in our study last week what Paul had said in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Listen to what Paul pens in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. And so Paul places the homosexual in the same lawless class as with murderers of parents. You know, we observed this fact, and it's a shame that we have religious individuals who attempt to wrest the scriptures. You know, Peter warned, he said, there are those who wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. Shame on individuals who do this. Some attempt to wrest the scriptures by suggesting that the Apostle Paul was not condemning homosexuality per se, rather only the abuse of the practice of homosexuality. But there is, liberals maintain, a proper homosexual relationship that would be approved. Dayton, have you heard of any such silliness? How absurd! Let's just apply this same type of reasoning. The same logic would then apply that there is a legitimate form of drunkenness, that there's a legitimate form of idolatry, that there's a legitimate form of murder, and so forth and so on. You know, and they would then try to say that only the perversion of such things are condemned. Now, I don't know about you, but that is downright foolishness. Dayton, are you listening? Well, here is another attack that these individuals try to put out. They say, oh, well, we have our rights, and our rights have to be protected. Really? The contention is frequently made by many currently that the sexual preference is entirely a private affair. We're told that what homosexuals do is their business. Those who fancy themselves as broad-minded intellectuals allege that the so-called, quote, rights, close quotes, of all must be protected. Now I want you to just take a deep breath and ponder with me several things that's fallacious, that's wrong with this reasoning. Number one, the homosexuals and other sexually apparent practitioners are pushing for public acceptance of their illicit conduct. You know, they want to teach in public schools. They've got to have their way. They want everything that will give them the right to do what they want to do. But think about this. Do parents have any rights? As a parent, do I have the right to expect that my children will receive their education from reasonably moral people? Should those who champion incest and bestiality be denied their rights to teach children? Dayton, are you listening? It seems that there is no restraint on the so-called rights of the wicked, only those who are trying to live godly lives. It is just as the prophet Isaiah had spoke of in Isaiah chapter 5, when he said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who draw sin as with a cart rope. Oh, we're faced with this. Second, one spokesperson for the Coalition for Lesbian and Gay Rights, and that's the title of their organization, has stated that the ultimate goal of the gay liberation movement is, quote, freedom of sexual expression for young people and children, close quote. The writer then says, this is taken from the Stockton Record back in 1979, a local newspaper, quote, we gain nothing by limiting our defense of homosexual love to consensual sex between adults. He further says, it is absurd to charge gay men who share their sexuality with boys as child molesters, close quote. Well, this, you see what it is they are trying to justify. Is this kind of thinking, is this kind of behavior what the Constitution of the United States was designed to protect? Here we are getting ready to celebrate our 250th birthday as a country. And is this what we celebrate? Is this the kind of attitude that we want to protect and that we want to allow to be put forth? Dayton, are you listening? So what shall we do? What are godly people to do in view of this plague of perversion? Well, one, let's observe this. It would be most desirable if we could simply teach sinful homosexuals to abandon their wickedness, obey Christ, and accept the forgiveness that he offers according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And this is precisely what some did in the first century after hearing the preaching of the gospel. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." These individuals heard the gospel. They realized that they were in sin, and they realized that the only way to be justified was to repent. That means to have a change of mind that was realized by a change of conduct. Now, so many that we have a lot of these individuals in the homosexual community, they are totally unconcerned with anything that the Bible says that would cause them to forego their immoral lifestyle. These people must be dealt with a little differently. And this approach is suggested to those individuals. One, virtually every person has a threshold of morality at some point. Those opposed to this depravity must depend that homosexuals defend their practice on some moral basis. For example, is bestiality immoral? Most individuals, the vast majority of folks, say yes. Is incest immoral? The answer to the question is already there. Yes. If the homosexual endorses this type of activity, let them come out and publicly say so. If they feel that such conduct, however, is immoral, then we must ask them, by what standard is their judgment made? If they would say, oh, bestiality is immoral, if they would say that incest is immoral, then we would challenge them and say, okay, what is the standard by which you determine that these activities are immoral? They must be pressured to logically and consistently defend their views. It will become apparent that when one rejects God as the ultimate standard of right and wrong, that God's revealed will in the New Testament is the standard by which men and women are going to be judged today. And that is the standard, John 12, 48 and 49, Romans chapter 2, verse 16. There's absolutely no stopping place for human immorality. When men reject God's will, then they're going to do whatever it is they want to do. Who is willing to accept the inevitability of this type of thinking? Scarcely anyone except those who have no regard for logic and clear reasoning, who revel in debauchery. Those individuals are going to balk at what we're saying. What shall we do? Let us therefore kindly, but forcefully, boldly press these truths upon our contemporaries. We must take the initiative in this struggle for decent conduct. the future generations yet unborn depends on how intelligently, spiritually, and vigorously we engage this battle. You know, it's a serious and ugly thing. Now, the Apostle Paul says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 15. This is a very serious issue that we are faced with, and we need to make sure that we are pressing the battle in Jesus' name. The victory to win. Dayton, I hope you're listening. Beloved, it does matter what you think. Beloved, it does matter how you think. God has a plan of salvation that requires faith, repentance, confession of faith, and then immersion in water for the remission of your sins. If we can help you to become a Christian, let us know. There's a great cry throughout the entire world for those who have sired children to behave as fathers, not as animals. Fatherhood is a great and demanding responsibility. In God's economy, fatherhood begins first with marriage. Genesis 2, 24 through 25, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, Hebrews 13, verse 4. Once there is marriage authorized and ordained by God, then the husband and wife can begin the adding to the family. Sadly, we have too many who think that they must first, quote, test the water, close quote, before making the commitment. It is even sadder that women of today are willing to commit fornication and live as a, quote, single parent, close quote, rather than choosing marriage. Part of the blame lies on men who have failed at being the type of fathers that God desires us to be.